This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, a few of the big banks gave me the impression that they might be on their way to extinction on a panel that I hosted earlier today. It was talking about using technology to respond to customer needs, and the refrain from the two banks, no names, no petrol, was that they're sort of hamstrung by legacy IT systems, spaghetti systems as they're known in the industry. And so to get a single view of the customer, well, obviously the holy grail, might not be achievable anytime soon. But what alarmed me even more is that this is against the backdrop where we're seeing new entrants coming to market from first principles to provide customers with exactly what they want. No wonder the average lifespan of a business is now around 15 years, down from a roughly 60 years back in the 1920s. Now, one of the best in the business to help us understand what's happening to business is Kirky Kuurman, a director and portfolio manager at Denker Capital, and joins us now. Evening, Kirky. It's all about Joseph Schumpeter's creative destruction. What happens to companies or countries even that resist Schumpeter's principle?
Yeah, well, they die. It's just a matter of time how long, but they gradually get further and further behind against faster moving competitors. And that, Joseph showed that, and, his great book, Why Nations Fail, highlights that, those nations that adapted or were open to change or didn't have what is called in the classical terminology of entiers or people who own the technology or whatever the position that is dying, who prevent the change. And banking certainly is changing rapidly. I was also at a conference this morning in Cape Town where all the big banks and insurers, it's not only banking, it's banking, insurers, short-term insurance. Mm. And what really struck me, and we've just been on a three-week trip visiting all the banks in Europe and the UK, Scandinavia, and we ended up in Russia. And everywhere banks realize that, they're planning for in 3-4 years' time, and a lot of them have made huge progress already in terms of where they are. So certainly banking as we've known it has already changed, and it's going to change further. And those countries that resist that change or can't live with it, all the banks, all the insurers that are behind will just in the end stay further and further behind, because your client behavior will change. It will more and more go to the guys who can deliver services to them in the most convenient and profitable way.
And that really comes to the heart of the issue. My point on this panel earlier today was the silo mentality that I tend to bang on this drum around silos in banks. But you can't have a single view of a client. You go to the credit card division, you pick up the phone, you phone the one division, then you bounce through to a mortgage division, and you've got to go through the whole process again. It just seems clunky and clumsy for a generational consumers who are used to having a very seamless, smooth sort of interaction with whatever service provider is out there. And banks really run the risk, as you said, of becoming destructed out of existence if they don't adapt to this. So who should do what to encourage long-term growth and mitigate the obvious short-term discomfort of change in the banking sector?
Yeah, so I think at the presentation at the conference today, all the large banks and insurers presented, and there is not one who doesn't realize and hasn't initiated change. To me, it was fascinating. In London, we saw the Brazilian banks as well, and we ended up with a trip in Moscow. And it's interesting what those banks have done. But, okay, the advantage of your Brazilian banks and also the Russian banks is their legacy systems are not as big. And, okay, we can talk about that later. It's different ways of making change. But the vision that the front banks are embarking on or have embarked on is, number one, you've got very good client data. And you can already, they've already been feeding that data into artificial intelligence models, which will tell them and predict client behavior. They can use that data, but now what they also are wanting to do is use the so-called old word now as digitalization. In other words, technology to engage with those clients in a quicker and more efficient way. But the real goal is to go one step beyond that. The leading banks wanting to create what we call an ecological system within which the client lives, and that is medical services, it is ordering a pizza, making an appointment at the hairdresser, making an appointment at the doctor. And the banks and the life assurers will be successful, be the ones who will have that app in the client's hands, will use a bank app, not knowing that it's a bank who's behind it. And at the same time, whenever the client then wants to pay, will automatically use the bank's facilities to do that. So you're talking about a whole lifestyle change, and the winners will be the guys who control that.
That's very interesting, and I've always looked at that from the vantage point of who might be the winners here. Is it going to be the banks getting into the insurance and other verticals, or the insurers getting into the bank space? If you look at as a user of one of those applications, you're going to use a bank app more than you're going to use an insurance app, because generally you only engage with your insurance when you're claiming. So it does look like the banks have an automatic advantage there, in that consumers are already online and interacting with their app and their online service almost on a daily basis.
Hey, you're totally right. So the banks have what they call richer and more live and data, whereas the insurers always have more historical data. But so the insurers who want to be successful will do JVs with banks. In South Africa, FirstRand is the bank that's the furthest advanced at the moment. Some of them, on the other hand, is the one who's further advanced in insurance space, although I was really impressed with Mutual wanting to go to. But so some of them obviously haven't got that same data as a bank, and it will most probably be in partner with a bank and say, we'll use your data. But I think the other point you make is the two other threateners to that space is obviously your large technology companies, or just your Apple, your Google, who can also provide banking services, also got good data. But what we hear internationally is they're more the regulators will prevent that. The Fed in the US, for instance, doesn't want Apple to become too big in financial services, because it wants to be able to control and regulate the sector. Very, very important, the crucial sector in an economy. And on the other hand, you've got the smaller players like in South Africa, Time, Zero Bank, who often can just offer one product or two products, and it just won't have the scale or the capital to really compete with what the larger banks are offering. So, but certainly everybody is, what the word everybody was using is disrupting. If you just think what at the moment, when you still go to overseas and you want to change money, the spread between the offer and bid is often 5%. You just want to do rand into pounds, or even pounds into euros. The difference is 5%. And now you've got Revolut coming online, who's enabling it to you to do it at spot. So, you're going to see a lot of products with fat margins being competed away by newer players. And in the end, one of the larger banks will buy one of those players, but the landscape is certainly changing.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Ant Financial and the incredible story that is. But then you have this context in South Africa of Labour almost being like King Canute, trying to push back against this inexorable tide of creative destruction.
It's incredibly sad, because if you think of the two, both in banks and insurers, there are two places that are still fairly labour intensive. The one is what the so-called back office processes. So often, it's changing rapidly, but if you did a application for a loan, then that loan would go to four or five different departments who would all have to stamp it and look up your... All of that is being automated. So they're going to be 40% of head office staff in large banks and insurers worldwide are being replaced. Now, all those players are doing their best to retrain those people, and there's a lot of other positions available. The other one is obviously your branch infrastructures. Already with the introduction of ATMs, how many years ago is that? It already moved a lot of, if you think of the old branches 30, 40 years ago, now people used to queue to just make deposits or make withdrawals. So you already automated that, and that's going to be ongoing. So your branches internationally are more and more just advice for people who really want to do a more important transaction in the house. Well, even that, a lot is automated, but a lot of people still say it's a big transaction. I do it once in my life. I want to make sure I get the right advice. And, you know, and I'm too old to go and onto a computer to get that advice. So that is what branches are more used for. But that means you're downscaling. And so you can have, and understand SASPO's position in South Africa, because obviously they've got to fight for their members and make sure that they get the best deal for their members. But the change is inevitable.
The change is inevitable, and as I said, like King Canute, you can't fight that inexorable tide. It was interesting earlier today having a conversation with the head of IT for McDonald's, and the way they've approached technology and bringing in these automated kiosks. They've actually created 500 new positions across the country, and they're more like customer experience managers at the front of their restaurants, helping people with their orders, and they've actually found that to be a net positive for them. So it isn't all one-way traffic. Kirky, thanks for your time.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
That was Kirky Koerman, Director and Portfolio Manager at Denker Capital, talking about the inevitable creative destruction that is ongoing in the financial services sector, and we certainly see it happening all over the world. Let's cross now to Pusaletso for the day's news wrap.